Let's talk about the NFL weekend. We are joined right now by an NFL Network insider, a host on Sirius XM NFL Radio as well. Busy, busy guy this morning, breaking news. Tom Pelissero is my guest. Tom, good to have you back. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Jim, and sorry that I dipped out last hour. I had two different people calling me at the same time about Javonte Williams tearing his ACL. This is kind of, unfortunately, how these Mondays go.
No, I understand that. I understand that completely. In fact, really bad, bad news, obviously, for him and for the team. You had that tweet up. Running back Javonte Williams suffered the torn ACL. Per source, his season is over. Seems self-evident, but how devastating is that for that team?
That's a massive deal. Javonte was supposed to be one of the cornerstones, and obviously nobody on offense has produced the way they want to so far in Denver. But then on top of that, you re-signed the veteran Melvin Gordon to be in a timeshare and really be the number two back behind Javonte this season. Well, Melvin has had fumbling issues throughout his career, and it's been really bad for them this season. So now all of a sudden, as you're trying to get the passing game going and get Russell Wilson in rhythm, you're trying to decide, can we trust Melvin Gordon to carry the ball? Do we have to use more of Mike Boone? It's one more thing that Nathaniel Hackett's got to deal with.
Talking to Tom Pelissero. And Tom, what a wild, wild weekend it was. They all are, but especially this past weekend. Let me ask you about Sunday night's game. No shame in losing to Kansas City, especially as well as they played. But if you're the Bucs and you had the best scoring defense coming in and Kansas City hangs 41 on you last night and they could not, Tampa Bay could not run the ball at all, what is your assessment of Tom Brady and the Bucs after four games?
My first thought was, for all the people worried about whether the Chiefs were still going to be able to score points without Tyreek Hill, I think you got your answer on national TV last night. Patrick Mahomes looks like himself. They're going to be dangerous every single week out. And in terms of the Bucs, it's just hard to get over the way that Brady and that Bucs offense looks. I mean, I don't want to say he looks old, because somebody will find this interview when he's still winning the Super Bowl 5 years from now at age 50. It's going to be replayed. But they just don't look like they've got any juice to them. And obviously the receivers have been in and out. Julio Jones got nicked up again. Chris Godwin got banged up again late in that game. Russell Gage has been hurt. It's just not the same Bucs offense. Remember, they don't have their center, Ryan Jensen. He's really the tone setter, the guy who's going to, you know, get in people's faces and be physical, and really everybody sort of feeds off of that. They don't have that guy right now. They obviously don't have Gronk. There's just something missing offensively. And then when your defense gets roasted the way that they did last night, it really puts a magnifying glass on the struggles that they're having offensively right now.
Tom Pelissero is joining us. Tom, regarding Tua and the big story that went down last week, you know, you see him go down Thursday night in Cincinnati after he was on the field last Sunday against the Bills. There are so many different layers to this story. Why don't you bring us up to date about where the league and the NFLPA are in terms of the revisions to the concussion protocols, and then how quickly do you expect these things to take place?
So with the concussion protocol, my understanding is they've basically agreed to parameters, and it's really about addressing the loophole, so to speak, in the gross motor instability clause, where the doctors involved with checking Tua for a concussion determined it was his back and not his brain that caused him to stumble. We've seen J.C. Treader, who's the union president, come out publicly and say that it was a violation that should never happen. He should not have been on the field. But technically, under the policy, doctors, and specifically the team physician, has sole authority to make that decision and say Tua is good to play. Now, I think that there are a lot of people who assume at this point that Tua had a concussion on Sunday. Everyone I have talked to in terms of people with the Dolphins, people with the league, people close to Tua, everyone says that they believe the protocols were in fact followed here and that Tua did not have a concussion. But obviously, we all know what we saw on TV. It didn't pass the eye test. I'd be the first one to say when he's stumbling, trying to get off the field, I'm thinking he's got a concussion. We're not going to see him again in this game. And then you go fast forward 4 days, and he suffers one of the most horrific-looking concussions that I can remember in 20 years covering the NFL. It's a bad look for everyone. Part of what, though, they have to work through here, besides finalizing the precise language on this, is they're also working through the unintended consequences. There have been many occasions, and I think back to one time with Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game where he took a hit to the head. Everyone assumed he had a concussion. In fact, he had a knee that was bugging him. His knee buckled. He ended up leaving the field. But that's something that could take place here. So you could potentially have players who are suspected of having a concussion, but in fact have a different injury, who are not allowed back in the game and remove the medical judgment from the medical people. If that's keeps one player who actually does have a concussion off the field, and that's a trade-off that the union certainly sounds like they're willing to make, but that is something that we're going to have to get used to here, which is the idea if a player shows signs of a concussion, even if the doctors who examine him do not believe that is his injury, under these new protocols, which could take place or take effect as soon as week five here, that player is likely going to be off the field.
Well said. Tom Pelissero is joining us. So, Tom, what about the Patriots? They had to go to Brian Hoyer after losing to the Packers yesterday because of Mac Jones's high ankle sprain. But then Hoyer goes down with a head injury, so rookie Bailey Zappe is forced to take over. What does the Patriots quarterback situation look like moving forward with reports that Jones may, in fact, need surgery himself?
Well, with Mac Jones, first of all, that's a severe high ankle sprain, and there are plenty of players who would immediately undergo that tightrope surgery. With Mac, he's never really, as he put it, suffered an injury since he fell off the monkey bars and broke his arm. So this is not a guy who's used to, dealing with those options and what the rehab process is going to be like. We'll see at what point he can get back onto the field, because his hope certainly is still to avoid that surgery. But you're right, Brian Hoyer gets the concussion yesterday, and all of a sudden you've got a fourth-round pick from Western Kentucky and Bailey Zappe out there. And by the way, looked pretty good.
He did.
Lambeau Field, your first NFL performance. There are so many coaches and scouts who I talked to prior to the draft last year who loved Bailey Zappe. As one quarterback coach put it to me, if you were playing flag football, he'd probably be the number one pick. But he's just not a big guy, doesn't pass the eye test, not a huge arm, but he's really smart. He knows where to go with the football. It fits the mold, at least mentally, what Bill Belichick has looked for here. So if Hoyer's not ready to go, I would fully anticipate it's going to be Bailey Zappe in his first NFL start this week.
Tom Pelissero joining us. I'm not saying that I'd make the same argument for Cooper Rush, but Cooper Rush strikes me as a guy who's making the right throw at the right time and making the right decision when he has to do so, and is doing everything he has to do to get them wins, and that's exactly what he's doing. And then you have Dak Prescott, Tom, who gets stitches removed from his thumb. So, and then you listen to Jera. Jera will talk about how there's a controversy, and then Jera will say there's no rush to get Dak back. I mean, kind of go through this and discern what's going on exactly here. How close is Dak to coming back?
Well, Jera believes that all news is good news, which is why he's on the radio and talking to reporters every single day, unlike every other owner in the NFL. Realistically, Jim, my understanding is it's highly unlikely Dak plays this week. They'll kind of ease him in, try him out in some individual drills. Maybe he runs some scout team, but I would be shocked if he's playing this week against the Rams. Now, this has always been Dak's goal, was to play this week. What I've heard from the beginning was next week's game against the Eagles in Philadelphia. That was always the one they thought more realistically they could target, because at that point, you were 4 weeks out from the surgery. The bones had time to heal. The swelling can go down. That's where you think you can integrate him. Remember, they didn't put him on injured reserve, which allows him to do some things in practice like he has since last week. So they'll continue to ramp him up. The Eagles game is probably a realistic goal. And for now, it is Cooper Rush, who is, I believe, 3-0 now as the Cowboys starting quarterback, going out back to that Halloween game he played last year and played really well in Minnesota when the Vikings were in a must-win game. I know that Mike McCarthy gets kicked around by a lot of people, and everybody said after week one, the season's over, and you got to blow it up, and how long does McCarthy have? Mike McCarthy right now, he should be a Coach of the Year candidate with the fact that they're winning with a guy who was out of football in 2020. He got waived by the Giants, didn't have a job for a month. He only went back to the Cowboys because Dak suffered that ankle injury in the fall of 2020. It would be possible if Dak never gets hurt. The Cooper Rush is, I don't know what his degree is in, but working for a business somewhere, throwing in the CFL, I don't know, but he's probably not in the NFL. They're winning with that guy, and of course, winning with the defense too. This is a Cowboys team, and when they get Dak back, Jim, is going to be dangerous, and they're going to be heard from again at the end of the season.
Hey, Tom, the only thing more amazing than you saying that Mike McCarthy should be considered a Coach of the Year candidate is I've got nothing snarky to say about that. I was one of those guys who did say after week one, the year is over, they're going to blow that thing up. But I agree with you. I mean, look at him. Listen, you've got, Tom, the Rams and 49ers tonight. Jimmy G is coming off a really rough outing in Denver. There have been reports of friction now between he and head coach Kyle Shanahan. What can you tell us about where their relationship stands right now?
Well, Jim, I think you have to go back to everything that played out through the course of this offseason where Jimmy knew from the time Trey Lance was drafted in April of 2021 that that was going to be his final season. And of course, he had his goodbye moment in his press conference after they lost in the playoff game. And then it was obvious to everyone involved, and everyone was on the same page, that he's going to be traded. But then he surprised the 49ers when he opted to get his throwing shoulder repaired. They still were hoping they were going to be able to trade him, but there was just no market there. And Jimmy, I think it's been well documented, is not necessarily the most communicative guy in general in the offseason. He kind of goes and does his own thing. They were in communication, though, about his rehab, and he was back. When I was out there in Santa Clara in camp, like second week of August, it's a strange scene because Jimmy's out there, no logos on his clothes. He comes out, does his throwing on the side, and then goes inside. Jimmy hasn't played football yet. He hasn't practiced. He didn't do anything in camp. No preseason coming off of shoulder surgery. That's part of why nobody would trade for him. And I had GMs tell me this, that when you acquire a guy who hasn't thrown in that long, you can't just suddenly go, you're going to throw 80 throws in practice. You're going to throw 50 throws in a game. It takes time. The 49ers, out of necessity here, obviously Jimmy practiced that first week on the scout team, but out of necessity now, they have to ramp him up. I know that, you know, all the amateur lip readers are trying to figure out what he was saying after that play. I think it was an interception in the game last week. Him and Kyle, from everything I've heard, are fine. It's, you know, it would be like if I was told by my boss, hey, we're not renewing your contract, and then because we're going to hire this guy, and then that person doesn't come, and they go, actually, you are back. I'd feel a type of way about it, too. Jimmy's a human being, but in terms of how he's playing, how that offense looks, this is going to be a process here, and I think if there's one thing we know about Kyle Shanahan, it's that he knows how to get people open, and I fully anticipate he's going to be doing that. Jimmy's just got to get the ball there.
Tom, wouldn't that be funny? Like, if they did you like that, and then they got you walking off the set, and all the amateur lip readers caught you saying, all your decisions suck, boss, or something like that.
I'd be saying a lot worse than that, Jim. You wouldn't be able to put on TV what I'd be saying in that moment.
That is the best. He is an NFL Network insider. He is the host on SiriusXM NFL Radio, breaking news, doing his thing, and working us in this morning. Tom, really appreciate it. Better late than never. In fact, that was great. That was well worth the wait. Appreciate you very much. Thanks, Tom.
Let's do it again soon, Jim.
That was fun. Appreciate you. Tom Pelissero, he is a pro. So he had that story early this morning. We had him booked earlier, but he had the story. He put it on Twitter. Running back Javonte Williams suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's loss to the Raiders, per source. His season is over. So that is a devastating break for them.